It is the morning show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. This morning on the State Capitol Report, you'll be hearing from both of the candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court in the upcoming April 3rd election. In just a bit, we'll be talking with Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Rebecca Dallet. But first, we welcome Sauk County Circuit Court Judge Michael Skrenek. Before Governor Scott Walker appointed him in 2015, Judge Skrenek was an attorney in private practice at the law firm Michael Best and Friedrich. Prior to that, he worked in municipal government for the Wisconsin communities of Reedsburg, Washburn, and Ashland. Now, we've only got Judge Skrenek for a few minutes, so if you'd like to talk to him, if you've got any questions for him, you need to give us a call right now at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Judge Skrenek, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, good morning. It's my pleasure.
Well, you're running in an allegedly nonpartisan race, but your campaign is largely supported by Republicans, while your opponent is largely supported by Democrats. And your background information, you were appointed to the current circuit court seat in 2015 by Governor Walker, and you previously worked as an attorney on things that the Walker administration had as priorities, defending legal challenges to Act 10 and also the Republican-led redrawing of legislative districts, which was declared unconstitutional by the appellate court and is now under review by the U.S. Supreme Court. With that background, can you really say that you won't hand down decisions that are favorable to Republicans?
Well, what I can say is what I have committed to the public from day one of this campaign, which is that when I chose to become a judge and I raised my right hand and I swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin, and I put on that black robe, my role in the judicial system changed completely. And as a judge now, I am no longer an advocate for any party that comes in front of me. I'm no longer an advocate for any issue that might be involved in a case that comes in front of me. As a judge, my fidelity is to the law and to the law alone. And that's the way that it is right now in Sauk County, and that's the way it will be if I'm privileged to serve on the Supreme Court. And that's really important for the voters to understand that I believe very strongly that the role of a judge is to interpret and apply the law as they find it. It's important to remember that judges are not legislators, and neither are we executives. Our job is to interpret and apply the law as it's written. But here's the critical part, not based on our personal or political beliefs, but based simply on the statutes and the Constitution. So to put it very simply, my task as a judge is to be an arbiter of the law, not a policy analyst and not a political activist. Now, that's very different from my opponent, who has articulated all of the political issues that she holds dear, and she has encouraged voters to vote for her on Central Time, on WPR's Central Time program, so that, and these are her words, that she can advocate for the policies that need to be changed in order to advance her political agenda. Now, that's the very clear distinction that the voters have between my candidacy and my opponents.
Well, Judge Skrenek, I want to give you a chance to respond to some of her charges against you. You've been endorsed by the National Rifle Association, and have you received campaign contributions from them?
A contribution from the NRA? No.
You have not. But your opponent says that with that endorsement, you'd be doing the bidding of the NRA. How do you respond to that?
Well, with that endorsement, what that demonstrates is that the NRA, along with two-thirds of all of the sheriffs across the state of Wisconsin, along with the Wisconsin Realtors Association, the Dairy Business Association, these groups understand, and the individuals and groups understand the same thing, and that is that what society needs from our Supreme Court is stability in the law, stability and predictability. And we only get that when we have justices who will decide cases based solely on the law and not based on the personal preferences of the individual justices. And so what all of those endorsements demonstrate, and I've made the same commitment and promise to every one of those individuals and groups, and that is what I just articulated previously this morning, that I will uphold the rule of law, I will set aside my personal or political beliefs about any issue, and decide the case based solely on the law as I find it. That's what those individuals and groups want from our Supreme Court. They don't want an inventive Supreme Court. They don't want a Supreme Court that's out looking to change our Constitution, amend the Constitution by shifting and moving the constitutional boundaries. Think about law enforcement. our law enforcement officers need to know that they can rely on their training and that when they're out in the field doing their jobs, keeping our communities safe, that they don't have to look over their shoulder wondering when our Supreme Court is going to be shifting and moving the constitutional boundaries and changing the law out from under their feet and thwarting their ability to keep our communities safe. And that's the reason why when the sheriffs all across the state have evaluated our two candidates, they have overwhelmingly put their faith in my candidacy as being the one that will most likely give them the opportunity to simply do their jobs and keep our communities safe.
Your opponent has also criticized you for a demonstration you were involved in at an abortion clinic when you were younger, about 30 years ago. Police had to carry you away after you blocked the entrance and you were charged with trespass. Did that act of civil disobedience when you were much younger show a disrespect on your part for the rule of law?
What that incident demonstrates is what I felt and believed passionately about when I was 19 to 20 years old, as you said, nearly 30 years ago. What I think the voters need to be far more concerned about are the actions that we have taken as candidates during this campaign. And within the last two or three months in the midst of this campaign, my opponent has been actively campaigning on the political issues she holds dear, while I have been actively campaigning on my commitment to setting aside my personal beliefs and deciding every case based solely on the law as I find it. And that's the only way that the voters in the state can know that they will have an impartial judiciary. The whole point of having an impartial judiciary is so that parties know when they come in front of the court that the judge at the circuit court level or the justices on our Supreme Court are not putting their thumbs on the scales of justice, but that everybody has a fair shake when they come in front of the court, that everybody stands on the same footing, and that footing is our law. And so while I am absolutely committed to deciding every case based on the law as I find it, my opponent is actively campaigning on the political issues that she cares about and urging voters to vote for her so that she can advance a political agenda from the bench.
Do you, Judge Skrenik, do you believe that Roe v. Wade guarantees Wisconsin women the legal right to an abortion?
Roe v. Wade is the law of the land, and it has been since it was decided, and I am committed to upholding the law. So I have no opportunity. It doesn't matter what I think about Roe v. Wade. It is the law. I will apply it, and I have no opportunity to change it from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It is it's a pronouncement of our United States Supreme Court that binds me as a judge today, and it binds our Supreme Court justices, our state Supreme Court justices as well.
Let's go to the phones. Tom in Port Wing, you are on the morning show with Judge Michael Skrenik.
Good morning, and thanks for the opportunity. Judge Skrenik, a few weeks ago you were in Hayward, and I asked you a question, and I thought your answer was absolutely wonderful and should be broadcast to Wisconsin. And that was legislating from the bench. And if you could retell that story of a judge who ruled through bad legislation that the case was put to the test because the legislation was bad and the legislators should go back and review the way they came about this law. It shows your impartiality in the law.
Tom, thank you so much for the phone call. Our time with Judge Skrenik is short. We might not have time for a story, but Judge Skrenik, what is your position on legislating from the bench?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And it was great to be up north. My wife and I spent 8 years up in Bayfield County. It was good to get back up to Hayward again and visit some of the fine folks up there. I believe strongly that it is imperative that our justices, when they're doing their tasks, that they do the legal research first, and they go where the law takes them. And that's how you know that you don't have any legislating from the bench, because here's the critically important part. The people of the state of Wisconsin in our system of government have created a system where we have two political branches, the legislative branch and the executive branch headed by our governor. Those two political branches are empowered by the people to set policy for the state, and they do that by the laws that they enact. And when those laws come to the court, there are only two questions that the court is asked. One is, what does it mean? And we know what the law means by the words that the legislature chose when they crafted the statute. And so we don't add words to it. We don't look behind the words to try to figure out what do we think the legislature was trying to do, but they didn't actually accomplish with their words. We use the words of the statute. The second question that the court is asked, and this is a very important question, is whether or not one or both of those political branches overstepped the constitutional boundary. And when the court evaluates that question and they determine that the answer is yes, that they've overstepped the constitutional boundary, it is absolutely the role of the court. It's a solemn duty that the court has been given to rein in government and say you've gone too far. But when the answer is no, and when the court determines that those two political branches stayed inside the constitutional boundaries, the court must remain hands-off.
And Judge Skrenik, we are completely out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. We should note that Judge Skrenik's campaign declined our invitation to be on with us for the entire first half of the hour, citing scheduling conflicts. We'll be back with Judge Rebecca Dallet after this. I'm Glenn Moberg. It is the morning show. I'm in for Kate Archer Kent. We want to thank Sauk County Circuit Judge Michael Skrenok for his appearance in the first part of our program. We now welcome the other candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Rebecca Dallet. Judge Dallet is a former prosecutor who served on the bench for 10 years. That election is April 3rd. And we invite you to join the conversation. What questions do you have for Judge Rebecca Dallet? You can give us a phone call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Judge Dallet, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
What is your judicial philosophy? We heard your opponent, Judge Skrenok, criticizing you for what he said you would do, which is legislating from the bench.
Well, that is not the job of a judge. I don't legislate from the bench, and I've been doing this job for 10 years and never have done that. A job of a judge is to uphold the Constitution, to follow the law, but keep in mind that we have individual rights that need to be protected under our Constitution, and that many of the challenges that come before the Supreme Court are challenges to those laws involving those rights, and those rights are very important. There is a distinction between myself and Judge Skrenok when we talk about following the rule of law. What he means about following the rule of law is he wants to follow that rule as long as it's something that he agrees with. When it's not something he agrees with, it's no longer following the rule of law. I, on the other hand, will be independent and fair and will make sure to follow the law and uphold the rights that our citizens have under our Constitution and the United States Constitution.
Well, critics are saying that this is nonpartisan in name only. Michael Skrenok, largely supported by Republicans. You've been largely supported by Democrats. How do you respond to that? Because it does seem to be lining up according to a traditional Republican-Democrat dichotomy.
Well, I respond to that by saying, first of all, I do see that Judge Skrenok, Michael Skrenok, is supported, not just supported by Republicans, but the Republican Party has given him hundreds of thousands of dollars. He is someone that has worked for our governor. He worked on behalf of our governor on Act 10. He worked on behalf of the Republican Party in defending the gerrymandered maps, which have been found unconstitutional. And has really taken these positions to line himself up to be yet another rubber stamp for our governor and for our legislature. I, on the other hand, have support of judges across the state, judges who are of different political backgrounds. Some of them are more conservative, more liberal. Some are appointed by our governor. Some are elected. But what I have is the support of those judges and many, many people throughout the state, thousands and thousands, because they recognize that I am going to be fair and independent, that I'm not going to bring in any kind of political beliefs into my decision-making, and that I will be the one that can do the work of a judge, which is applying the law but recognizing those rights and not just being a rubber stamp.
You spoke at the Wisconsin State Democratic Party Convention, and when you spoke recently at the Women's March, you were introduced by a Democrat, State Senator Lena Taylor. Your opponents say that makes you a Democrat. Are they right?
I do not belong to any political party. I've been a judge for 10 years. And what we need to talk about in this race is really experience and values. That's the heart of this race. And I have the values that people in Wisconsin care about, the things like clean air and water, equal protection under the law. Certainly protecting women's rights and empowering women have been a large part of my career working in domestic violence work and really standing up for the vulnerable. That is part of who I am, and that is important. And I'm the only one with the experience that we need to make sure those values are protected.
Let's go to the phone. Steve in Sun Prairie, you're on with Supreme Court candidate Judge Rebecca Dallet. Steve?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, it was my understanding, I heard that the guest was at an event in San Francisco and talked about Wisconsin values versus San Francisco values and how Wisconsin kind of lost their way. As a father of two young girls, someone who did support Trump in the last election, as did most Wisconsinites, as well as Governor Walker the past couple of elections, what specific values does the guest think I am lacking?
Judge Dallet?
Thank you for the question, Steve. I believe that what we are missing in our courts and what I am running to change is that we are missing fair and independent courts. Our Supreme Court has become a court where money has poured in, special interest money, the money that is trying to buy my opponent his seat, to the tune of over close to $1.5 million right now has been spent on my opponent by the biggest business lobby in our state. And then those cases come in front of the court where that money has been spent and the expectation is that that justice rule in favor of that money. That's exactly what happened with Justice Gableman in the John Doe case. That was 10 years ago that he was elected, that money started pouring in. We have lost our fair and independent courts, and I am running to get that back.
The caller, Steve, from Sun Prairie, referred to, I think, an audio tape that's been on YouTube of you speaking at a fundraiser in San Francisco. And in that tape, you talk about politics in Wisconsin and how the Supreme Court election will set the table for future partisan races. Scott Walker's attempt for a third term, Paul Ryan's attempt to get reelected. And you told the audience at that fundraiser that you got a shout out recently from from Rachel Maddow, a liberal talk show host. The Republicans, Judge Dallet, are pointing to those remarks as an indication of partisan bias. How do you respond?
I first respond by saying my opponent and the Republican Party doesn't care about the rule of law because they are willing to break the law whenever they feel like it. My opponent broke the law when he trespassed on women's health care clinics. He was arrested twice, and he refused to give his name. And he broke the law when they recorded me at a private event with a state that has two-party consent recording, and I never consented to that recording. So that's the first thing I'll say. The second thing I'll say is we are setting an example for the entire country. That example is that money cannot buy seats. Money should not be able to buy a Wisconsin Supreme Court seat and to buy justice. And in our state, it has. We have a court that has had money pouring in. And I'll say it again, $1.5 million so far for my opponent by the biggest business lobby in our state who has an expectation that he will rule in their favor. And that has got to change. And it is a nationwide issue. We should absolutely be able to have people electing our officials and not money, not special interest money.
You've made a big issue of recusal in the Supreme Court race. We're going to go to Mike in Edgerton right now who has a question about that. Mike, you're on the morning show with Judge Rebecca Dallet.
Good morning. I hope you can hear me.
We can hear you.
Okay. Anyhow, what I was going to say, in the last few sessions, I noticed the judges that have taken quite a bit of money from different groups like Wisconsin Manufacturing Council, and there's controversy on them sitting on some cases, would not recuse themselves. And I was hoping you would tell us that you would on cases that may be controversial or, you know, that if you were sitting there that you would see a conflict of interest.
Judge Dallet, you've said you support stronger recusal rules. Talk about that, if you could.
Yes. No, thank you for that question. So I absolutely support stronger recusal rules, and I think this is a big difference between myself and my opponent as well. I will recuse myself. I understand that there is a group that has spent a large sum of money, although probably about 10 times less than the Wisconsin manufacturers and Commerce has spent on my opponent. But if they were to come in a case before my court because of the amount of money that was spent, I would recuse myself. I would like the same pledge from Judge Scranach that he would do the same. I haven't heard him say that he will recuse himself from cases where Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which has spent close to $1.5 million on his race so far, where they appear in front of him. I call on him to make the same pledge, but recusal is very important. It's how we get back to having a fair and independent court where the public can know that the judges are basing decisions on the law and not based on money that was given during a campaign.
I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent. If you just joined us, we're talking to Supreme Court candidate Judge Rebecca Dallet. If you've got a question for her, you can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Steve in Madison. Steve, you're on with Judge Dallet.
Good morning. Thank you. I have a policy question for you. Last summer, the Wisconsin Supreme Court voted to close to the public its rulemaking conferences where it regulates the judicial branch, our legal system, so that the public can no longer see what the court's votes and hear what the court's discussing. And I'm wondering if you think that was good public policy, and if elected, would you vote to reopen those conferences?
I think transparency in government is very important. I do not think that was good public policy, and I would absolutely fight not only for a stronger recusal rule, but to reopen those hearings.
All right, very good. Steve, thank you so much for the phone call. Judge Dallet, only 20% of the judges in Wisconsin are women. Can you comment on that statistic?
Yes, we are at a time here where we have had women coming out of law school at the rate of more than 50% since I graduated about 24 years ago, and we are still at only 1 in 5 women on our courts across the state. One in five judges are women in our Supreme Court. Let me start again. 1 in 5 women, you said it right the first time, 20% of all the judges are women. And this is something that we need to change. We need to make sure that women are at the table in all kinds of ways. And we're at a time right now, a moment in time, where people are understanding the need to have more representation of all kinds, of all people, and in leadership roles. And I think in our courts, we should be represented in those leadership roles as well. And I'm proud to have been someone who has helped other women throughout my career to step up to run, to make those choices to do that and to be leaders in our courts, which we need.
You've criticized your opponent for being endorsed by the National Rifle Association. What is your position on gun rights? Do you believe that the Second Amendment guarantees Wisconsin citizens the right to keep and bear arms, not just for hunting, but for self-defense?
What I've criticized about my opponent is the fact that he has made a promise. He has made a pledge, which is something that we don't do as judges, that we can't do. He has vowed to protect the firearm freedoms advocated by the NRA. That's what they've promoted in their literature that they've sent out. We have a Second Amendment. I would do what any judge should do, which is make sure that those rights under the Second Amendment are upheld, and that everyone has those rights. I am not taking promises. I am not taking money from an organization that, again, would expect me to rule a certain way on certain issues. I think that's the crux of the problem. But I do understand and live in Wisconsin where people have hunting is a big part of our culture. I've been in a gun court where I've returned guns to owners that had a lawful right to have them. And that's something that I've had experience with that my opponent hasn't had experience with. So I think the distinction here is really, again, we go back to who's taking the money, what does the money expect you to be doing, and who's making promises to organizations like the NRA in order to get himself elected, and that's my opponent.
We've only got about a minute here. Wayne has a question from Nina. I don't have time to take the phone call, Wayne, but I'll ask the question for you. Judge Dallet, what is your trial experience? How many cases have you done? Or he asks, are you primarily an administrative judge?
Thank you. And I think that's a big distinction between myself and my opponent, too. So I have handled in my career as a judge over 11,000 cases. It's close to 12,000. I have presided over 230 jury trials in all kinds of areas. I've been in criminal court, I've been in civil court, and have a real depth of experience that is a very distinct between me and my opponent. And then as an attorney, I was a prosecutor for 11 years. I handled thousands of cases. Many of them went to trial, conducted close to 100 jury trials myself. And that experience is something I think we need on our Supreme Court. We need someone with that understanding of what people in our community are facing in Wisconsin and of that real depth of understanding of the law from a practical level on a day-to-day basis.
You're a judge in Milwaukee County. You're also a former prosecutor. This state is one of the highest incarceration rates for African Americans in the country. How do we turn that around without endangering public safety?
Well, we do need to have the conversations about being smart on the incarceration. We have right now an opioid crisis, and if you get out west in our state, we have a methamphetamine crisis. We need to think about ways to allow for treatment when possible, especially in those types of cases, while still protecting our community from violent people who have been convicted of violent crimes. And that is a balance we need to strike, but it starts with having these discussions, acknowledging the issue, and working toward finding solutions.
How can you guarantee, Judge Dallet, how can you guarantee voters that your political opinions won't influence your judicial decisions?
Well, I have been a judge for a decade, and I have been serving on the court, making the kinds of decisions that need to be made, not allowing any kind of political opinion that I might have influence the work that I've done, and I'm the one with the track record of doing that for 10 years. I have never worked for a political party like my opponent. I have never worked for our governor. I have only worked for the people of our state, working to make sure their rights are protected and really applying the law and the Constitution every single day. That's the kind of judge I've been. That's the kind of support I've garnered from across the state, from people in all political areas, and that's the kind of Supreme Court justice I will be, not governed by special interest money that's pouring in to my opponent's race, not being a rubber stamp to our governor or the legislature.
Do you feel it's important to have a congenial Supreme Court? You've said the Supreme Court is broken. We've only got about 20 seconds here for your answer.
Yes, we need to have civility on that court. You can absolutely work with people in the work of the court, which is the most important work in our court system, the highest court, and do so in a way where you get along, where you further everyone's interests in our state, and where you are civil to one another, even if you don't agree on the underlying issues. I would work toward that.
We want to thank Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Rebecca Dallet, and before that, Sauk County Circuit Court Judge Michael Skrenik. When we come back, we'll get analysis from Stephen Walters, a senior producer for Wisconsin Eye and the former Capitol Bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It is the morning show. I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent. We've heard from the candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court, Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Rebecca Dallet and Sauk County Circuit Judge Michael Skrenik. Now for analysis, we turn to Stephen Walters. He's a senior producer for Wisconsin Eye and a former Capitol Bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We would still like to hear from you. You've heard from both the candidates. What did you think of them this morning? What questions do you have about the race for that open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court? It's coming right up on April 3rd. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can send us an email at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for being with us today, and But what did you think of what the two candidates said on Wisconsin Public Radio this
morning? Well, it pretty much echoes their positions. I mean, you have Mr. Skronik saying the court's not broken, and you have Judge Dallet saying the court is broken. And it's just kind of fascinating, as you alluded to, April 3 election, and that's 2 days after Easter, low turnout. Many schools are on break. There's just some fascinating things at play here.
There could be a lot of people out of town, and that could affect how many people turn out to vote.
Yeah, you're right. We saw about 11% turnout in the primary, which is higher than the Elections Commission predicted. So you're probably looking at 11%, 15%. That's my guess. I haven't gotten any official prediction from the Elections Commission. So that's 1 in 7 voters turning out on April 3rd. It's just very, very, very interesting. There's just several factors to consider.
Well, we've also got something else that's been in the news lately. We had the march against gun violence over the weekend. It drew millions of people across the country, and the National Rifle Association has become an issue, for better or for worse, in this race. You have the organization endorsing Judge Skronik. And we've got all of these young people demonstrating, but that could provoke a backlash from gun rights supporters. And all of this is happening right before this April 3rd election.
Yeah, but
it's kind of a wild card.
But you have 10 days in there between the rallies and the election. So will there be some momentum against the NRA, which has, of course, endorsed Judge Skronik? So will there be any momentum? And you also have questions of the third candidate in the primary, Tim Burns. He got 95,000 votes. 1 in 4 of them came from Dane County. Will Mr. Burns supporters turn out for Dallet? And then you have the question of Judge Dallet's turnout in the Milwaukee County. So you just have a lot of these wild cards out there. It's a very fascinating race.
And correct me if you think I'm mischaracterizing this, but Mr. Burns didn't make much of an effort to disguise his partisanship in the primary.
No. He said that President Trump's conduct should justify impeachment hearings, and he was out there in a big way for his progressive causes.
So will those voters turn out for Judge Dallet? According to one analysis, outside conservative groups have spent about $12 million on this officially nonpartisan Supreme Court race over the last 10 years. Liberal groups have spent about $6 million. Much of the spending has been for so-called issue ads. What does all the influx of this money tell us about the state of Wisconsin's electoral politics, particularly when it comes to the balance of power between the legislative and the judicial branches?
Well, it's the result of the Citizens United ruling, where corporations have free speech. And you heard Judge Dallet talk about her figure. I'm using her figure, $1.5 million spent by WMC just in this race. So you see the polarization of America, and you see the ability of third-party groups to arm up on both sides. Now, those are very impressive numbers, especially when you consider that our judiciary is supposed to be nonpartisan. Whereas you have the Republican Party and WMC working actively for Judge Skronik, and then you have Eric Holder, who's anathema mm-hmm. to the political right, coming in here on behalf of the next generation group nationally, which is related to the Democratic Party. So the polarization, the division goes on.
Well, with Judge Skronik, you couldn't ask for issues that are more infuriating for liberals. An endorsement from the NRA, legal work on Act 10 and redistricting, and then protesting 30 years ago, nonetheless, he had to be carried away from an abortion clinic. And then with Judge Dallet, that audio of her speaking at a fundraiser in San Francisco, of all places, is equally infuriating for conservatives.
And when you just had her on, she didn't speak to the context of her comments to that San Francisco fundraiser. She really didn't. So we still don't know when she talks about the values of San Francisco, relating that to Wisconsin. She didn't really answer that question, Glenn.
Well, I thought she hinted at an answer anyway, in which she was talking about values of democracy and individual rights. And, she mentioned that those values were under threat in Wisconsin. Whether she was talking about the Supreme Court, which she said was broken.
Yes.
I guess that's something that you're going to have to judge for yourself.
Yeah, you really are. Yeah. And when you look at some of the numbers here, I mean, I think a parallel is the April 5, 2011 race between Judge Joanne Kloppenburg and Justice David Prosser. And if you remember, that was 1.5 million votes decided by 7,000 votes. And when you look at the key counties for that, let's just say that Justice Prosser, who won re-election after a statewide recount, remember? He got 25% of his votes from Waukesha and Milwaukee County, and he won Waukesha County by 60,000. However, when you look at Judge Kloppenburg's total, she won Dane County by 85,000 votes and Milwaukee County by 30,000. But Justice Prosser not only won Waukesha by 6,000, he won Brown, and in some of the suburban counties like Ozaukee, he won by 12,000 votes. So you have this interesting emerging patterns of support for the Democrat in this race, which is the Democrats favor Rebecca Dallet, and their base is Dane and Milwaukee County. And then you have the suburban and Waukesha support for the perceived Republican candidate, Judge Skronik.
Well, you know, progressives have been on kind of a roll, both in Wisconsin and nationally, since Mr. Trump was elected. We just had, you know, we've had a number of elections, including that one in the western part
Senate
of the
District
state,
10.
The legislative race.
Yes, for Senator Schachner.
What do you think it'll say if Judge Dallet is able to prevail here, when so-called progressive voices have had problems prevailing in more recent Supreme Court races?
Well, after results in Senate District 10, Governor Walker called it a wake-up call. That was the same thing that Speaker Ryan said after that win by Connor Lamb in Pennsylvania. I want to go back to what Charles Franklin's MU poll said, that there's a 10% enthusiasm gap, that the Democrats are more enthusiastic, 62% to 52%. So that could be a factor in a potentially very, very tight race for the Supreme Court, Glenn.
Both candidates have attacked each other in campaign commercials because of sentences handed down in sexual assault cases. And the ads are pretty ugly.
Yes,
you know, they're the standard negative ads, black and white pictures of the opposing candidate with scary music, talking about the sentence that was handed down, but without going into any detail, any of the mitigating factors that might have existed that influenced those decisions. That kind of advertising has become pretty standard for Supreme Court races. What do you think that does to the public's perception of the high court? And do you think it influences public opinion on the candidates?
Well, I want to go back to your premise that both sides are now citing what they believe to be unfair and wrong decisions by both candidates. So isn't there some degree of leveling out? But these negative ads work. You and I know that. And if they didn't work, they wouldn't be run. So I almost am tempted to say it's kind of a wash, having just seen the WMC ad about Judge Dallet giving, I believe, a grandfather 2 years in circuit court when she could have handed out a heavier sentence. So there's merits. There's always the other side of both stories.
And then the 8 months for the rapist, which is, you know, Dallet's attack against Skronik.
It's pretty rough stuff, isn't it, Glenn?
It is indeed. And it's, you know, enough to make you turn off your television in the middle of election season.
It's what passes for discourse now.
Why has the issue of recusal become so important in this race?
Because of such the amounts of money that you just alluded to. And as Judge Dallet said, Mr. Gableman chose not to get off a case, even though WMC spent heavily to help him get elected. And she just promised if some of my supporters, if some of the groups running independent ads for me come before me, I will step off a case. Judge Skronik has said that's a way that you disqualify judges. That's what he told me in an interview at Wisconsin Eye.
Right.
So it is a very important issue. And by the way, our judges, our justices, when they get off a case and back off, they don't have to give a reason. They can just say, did not participate.
We're going to squeeze in one phone call here. Let's go to Nate in Milwaukee. Nate, we're down to our last minute or so you got to be succinct.
All right. There was an article on the state Supreme Court, and it mentioned how, as possible payback, they had actually punished by lowering the amount of money they would receive that retired judges got after retired judges basically put together a petition saying that we should have stronger recusal rules as a way of making sure things are more just. It was in the December of last year governing magazine that this was mentioned.
All right. Thanks, Nate, for your call. Recusal is a big issue.
Recusal is a huge issue. I'm not aware of any recriminations, any attempt to lower pensions. Our Wisconsin Supreme Court has held that once a pension is awarded, it's a property right.
You've got a debate that you're moderating in just a couple of hours.
Milwaukee
here.
Bar Association Forum. I look forward to that.
So what topic do you think is going to be the big topic today?
Well, I think you've got to get back to the issue of the procedures to step off a case and recuse, and their judicial philosophies, which you got into, sir.
Stephen, we'll let you get on your way. Thanks so much for being with us today. We want to thank also the candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Judge Rebecca Dallet and Judge Michael Skrenick, and thanks to Stephen Walters of Wisconsin Eye. That election is April 3rd. To learn more about the candidates, visit wisconsinvote.org. This hour of the morning show is produced by Michelle Johnson and Keely Boltina. Michael Derringer is the technical director. And this is The Morning Show. I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.